you, Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to turn your Bibles just for a moment. I'm switching gears, so you guys with the PowerPoint, we're going to save that, but I got something else I want to share just for a few moments. Go with me to Matthew 27. How many enjoyed Easter last Sunday? And just the season that we're in right now with Easter and the celebration, just experiencing our Lord's resurrection and the fact that he's resurrected in us. Hallelujah. I'm going to say it again. The fact that he's resurrected in us. Mary Alice and I, when we were youth pastors, we had a skit we used to do, and it was called Jesus Stay Here. And what we would do is we would have a scene where we're in this, where I would play Jesus, or we'd have a young man come up and play Jesus, and he'd be standing outside the door, knocking on the door, and Mary Alice would be inside, and she's getting dressed and getting ready to go out for the night, going out on town, hang out with her friends, and she's in there getting ready, and also there's a knock on the door, and she opens the door, and she says, "Oh, it's Jesus. Would Jesus come in? I don't have a lot of time, but come on in just for a little bit, and we can talk for a little bit, but I got somewhere I got to go." And Jesus would never say a word. He would just walk in, and he would smile, and she'd say, sit right over here. He would sit down, and then she would go to the other room, and she'd come back out like she's getting ready to go, and he's still sitting there, you know, waiting to talk with her. And then she would make a beeline for the door, and then she realizes that Jesus was still sitting there, and she would say, "Jesus, no, you don't understand. I've got somewhere to go, so we can talk another time, but you stay right here." And she would walk towards the door, and Jesus would just get up off the seat and start walking behind her like he's going to follow her and go with her. And she would turn around and say, "Oh, no, Jesus, I want you to stay right here because I've got places to go. I've got something to do. I've got friends to hang out with, and maybe you don't want to go where we're going, so you want to be right here." And she would get back up, or he would be there, and she would start walking to the door again, and Jesus would come right behind her and walk right behind her like he was wanting to go with her. And she would say, "No, Jesus," and we would repeat that about two or three times, and finally she would just get a little bit unnerved with him, and she said, "No, I want you to stay here, Jesus," and set him down really firm, and he would stay on that seat, and then she would turn and go towards the door, and he would get right back up again and follow her to the door. I think you guys know where I'm going with this. Many times in this life, we just want Jesus to stay in a certain place. We want to live our life how we want to live it. And keep Jesus over on this side. If I can just do my Jesus thing on the weekends, come on somebody, help me preach this morning. And I can live however I want to live the rest of the week and do whatever I want to do. But I can always come back because I know Jesus is never going to leave me nor forsake me. He loves me. He's not going to do anything. He's not going to leave me. Or we take the other part of this. We believe that God is with us. We believe that he is Lord of our lives. And we do serve him. But there's many times in our lives where we wonder where God's at. God, how would you allow this to happen to me? Why am I going through this? It's not fair. Where are you, Jesus? Has anybody ever asked that question before? Where are you, God? And all the time, all you got to do is turn around and he's right behind you. Matter of fact, he's right beside you and he's right in front of you. He said, "I will never, ever, ever leave you nor forsake you. Never, ever leave you." You've got to believe that. More than believing it, you got to live it. You got to live it. The problem is we're living in a westernized civil religion to where we feel like we can punch our church clock and just do whatever we want to do and live however we live, and somehow in God's grace our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life and we're going to go to heaven no matter what. Now I don't know all the mystery there is in all that. I do know that my wife says God has a long arm of grace, and I'm thankful that he does. But I also know, and I've read enough scripture to know, that that's not his plan for you and I. Just to get by, just to get into heaven. I don't want to live this life, George, just knowing that, hey, if I do the right things, if I do A and B to get C, then maybe when that trumpet calls, I can put my foot in the door and squeeze my way into heaven. That's not God's plan for you and me. God's plan for you and me is that we live in abundance with him right now, 24/7, 365 days a year, that we know Jesus and that we know that he is with us. He is walking with us. He's in relationship with us. We are in relationship with him, and we know him and he knows us. That's the kind of God that we serve. That's the kind of God that loves us. That's the kind of God that was risen again on that third day. I want you to, if you're with me in the Word, just go. I'm not going to be very long because I want us to take communion, but I want us to prepare our hearts before we do. But in Matthew chapter 27, I love that Matthew gives us this picture. Verse 62. You guys there, say praise the Lord. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. Sir, they said, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days, I will rise again. Interesting, they call him deceiver. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first. Interesting, Pilate said, take a guard. Go make the tomb as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting a guard. I don't know about you, and I don't know about how strong they made that seal, but nothing can hold my Jesus in a grave. Nothing can hold him in a tomb. Nothing can keep him in that chair. It doesn't matter how much you pout, how much you get mad, how much you want to turn your back on God. He said that he will never leave you nor forsake you. You can't shake him. You can't get rid of him. You can't make him get away from you. He loves you with an everlasting love. And he is beckoning for you to know him and to know of his love and to know of his forgiveness, to know of his presence in your life. So many times we want to push him to the side. Pastor, not me. I love my Lord. I love my Word. But how many times have you asked yourself, where is God in my situation? Has God forgotten about me? Where's your faith? I think this word, Jesus, he would turn to, you know, those closest around him, and he'd say, where is your faith? Even his own disciples, where is your faith? Do you not know? Do you not see? Do you not understand? Where is your faith? Because there is power in the name of Jesus. Say it with me. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Come on, everybody, one more time. There is power in the name of Jesus. And when you get that, we begin to live that way. It will change everything about your perspective, about where you're walking, where the challenges in your life, if you realize that he is with me and I am in him and he is with me. I find myself, and I had this paradigm shift several years ago, and it just changed my perspective on prayer. You know, it's like, now I get it. We have to go to the altar. We got to get in that quiet place, and we got to lift it up before the Lord, and we do that. But I want you to know that that's not the only places where you meet with God. Sunday morning is not the only place where you meet with God. If he never leaves you nor forsakes you, that means you can whisper a prayer any time of the day, and he hears your prayer. Isn't that pretty cool? He's like that friend that's never going to leave you. He's like that cell number you call and you're always going to get an answer, right? He's always going to be available. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so we've got to get through this and understand that there's power in the name of Jesus, and we've got to link into that power. We've got to connect into that power. We've got to experience who that Jesus is. Because without that power, you guys got to get this, without that power, we're powerless. We are empty. We are undone. We are unrighteous. We are, as Paul would say, my righteousness is as filthy rags without his power, without his righteousness in me. Amen. Our staff has been reading a book, and Pastor Jordan has had us going through this book in discipleship, nurturing this time together, called Following the Call. And I read something the other day that jumped out at me, and I want to share it with you real quickly on this thing about the powerlessness of man and the power of God. It just struck me. Let's read it out for you by Eberhard Arnold. It says this: another thing concerns me very much, the powerlessness of man. Look at your neighbor and say, you're powerless. Now, I know some of you guys that have these big muscles and stuff. Wait a minute. Who? What? You're powerless. What does that mean? Even of the man who has been entrusted with some task. Only God is mighty. Only God is mighty. And we are completely powerless. Even for the work that has been given us, we are wholly without power. We cannot fit even one single stone into the church community. We can provide no protection whatsoever for the community when it has been built up. We cannot devote anything to the cause by our own power. Did y'all hear me this morning? We are completely without power, but I believe that just this very reason, only God, why God has called for us in the service, to know that we are powerless. Listen, it is hard to describe how our own power must be stripped off of us. Oh, Lord Jesus, forgive us of our narcissism and thinking that it's all about us and it's about our power. How our own power must be dropped, dismantled, torn down, put away. That is not attained so easily and does not happen through a single heroic decision. It must be done in us by God. And he says this, and I want you to get this in your heart. This is the root of grace. Everybody say grace. The dismantling of our own power. Let's like drop the mic. It's over after that line. The dismantling of our own power. And I love this scenario that Matthew gives us. It's because the world, the Roman guards, the ones in control of that part of the world in that context that we see in Scripture, thought they could control God by placing a seal over the tomb because they denied who Jesus was. And they said, we've got to put a seal over this tomb. Listen, I don't care how big that rock is or how big that rock was or how strong that seal was. There was nothing that was going to keep Jesus in that tomb. Amen? It only took one angel that we see. The Scripture says one angel, and he came and rolled that stone away, and he sat there waiting as Mary came and saw that Jesus was no longer there. Listen, I don't know what you have in your life that seems power in your life right now, that seems overwhelming, that seems like it's a challenge that's too big for you, but you have a God that's bigger than that challenge. You have a God that's bigger than that, and he can roll that stone away. He can open that heart. He can change that life. He can bring healing to your... You know how I know there's power in this place this morning? You know how I know? Look at your neighbor. There's some this morning that have been freed from sin. There's some this morning in this house that have been freed from a habitual habit. There's some this morning that have been set free from drugs and alcohol. There are some this morning that has been saved, that have been changed, that have been healed of relationship. Whatever it is in your life, there are changed people all around you. So you know that our God's got to have a little bit of power. He's got to have a whole lot of power. He is a powerful God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You are a testimony to God's power. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to you now. He's talking about you. So, guys, here's the muscle part. We are weak, but he is strong. I am weak, but he is strong. And so when I receive Jesus into my life, it's like I'm Power Man again. Ooh, right, I'm power. The power comes in. I'm filled with his Holy Spirit. I'm filled with his presence. And so I can walk with this life. I don't have to walk around saying, woe is me, the devil's after me. But I can say, I am a child of God. No weapon formed against me shall prosper in the name of Jesus. Take that, devil. Hallelujah. I'm a child of God. And you approach life that way and you say, Lord, it's because of your power in me. I am powerless. I can do nothing without you, God. Oh, hallelujah. Matter of fact, anything that I do accomplish, Lord, I give you glory and honor for. God, it's by your power. It's by your love. It's by your, Lord, accepting of who I am. It's by you wanting me. It's by you wanting to know me, Lord. It's by me belonging to you, God, that I am in you and you are in me. And that's the power I live on. Oh, hallelujah. It's that deep breath that I take in the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that gives us the power, the presence of Lord of you. Oh, thank you, Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God. It's not about me, it's about you, Lord. I love that they tried to seal him up, and they couldn't do it. because the tomb is empty this morning. They tried to keep him in. We're living in a day and an hour where the world is trying to keep God in a box. Matter of fact, they don't even want to recognize who he is. They want to obscure the line of truth. There's no moral absolutes anymore. Oh, you can worship whoever, whatever God you want to. Everything's fine, and it's going to have all the ends going to go to heaven because God would not punish us and send us to a hell. Matter of fact, there's a theology where there's not even a hell. They don't believe there's a hell, because why would God do that to anyone? It's his creation, and so we're all going to be in grace. Or they find another path to this place called heaven or eternal life. Or they say, I'm not going to believe in any of it. They want to obscure the line. But I believe, look at your neighbor, make sure they're awake and they're with me right now. I believe we're in a house right now where we're surrounded with people who are hungry for a living, all-powerful God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in the middle of that, in the middle of that expectation and that heart for God, in that place where we posture ourselves and we worship. Now I want the worship team to come on back up. You guys had a long enough break. Come on back up now. Help me up here. Help me preach. Here we go. If we posture ourselves long enough, guys, if you're praying that God will do something in these last days, I want him to do it right here at Rock Hill First. I want him to do it in me. I want him to do it in you. I want to see it in this place, in this house. And I got to believe that our God is a God who wants to give himself to us. He wants to pour his spirit out. He's not begrudging. He's not withholding. He's saying, I'm waiting on you to be hungry enough for me. And then once I see that, then I'm going to blow my presence into this place like you've never seen before. I'm praying for a third wave revival. Hallelujah. Oh God, do it in me. Do it in me. I don't know what you guys got planned, but I believe this is going to be right on point. Can't keep him in. Matter of fact, if he's in there, I'm going in myself. I'm going in because I need him. And then we're going to come out together. And that's what many of you decided this morning. You said, I'm going in to know who he is. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We're going to take communion in just a moment. But maybe you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Steve, I don't know Jesus the way that I know that I need him. I'm going to give you an opportunity right now. You're watching online. You happen to find us, and I thank you for being with us right now. But there's a place right now that we need to get to in God. I want us to posture ourselves. And I'm going to invite you, before we take communion, if you're home watching, maybe grab some juice and some crackers and take communion with us in a moment. But I want us to search our hearts. David in the Bible, if you read the Psalms, these songs that he wrote, many times he cries out to God, and there's like a back and forth tug of war. And a lot of us go through that in life, don't we? We have a tug of war. And I'm in God, I'm out of God, or I feel like he's away, and he's close, and then he's away again. That's not really how God operates. We're either all in or not. The fact is that God is all in. He's really waiting on us to make our decision. So maybe you feel like you're not all in, but today you want to be. I want you to pray this prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that I cannot save myself, and I'm in need of you, God. And I ask that you'd wash me of all of my sins, that you'd come into my heart and come into my life and be my Lord and be my Savior. I ask in the name of Jesus. And from this moment on, Lord, I'll follow you all the days of my life. I'm in. I'm all in. I'm jumping in right now. I'm jumping in. Would y'all say that with me? I'm jumping in right now, Father. And I thank you for your love for me. In Jesus' name I pray. My friend, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it with all your heart, the Bible says that you're born again, that all things are passed away and all things become new. We want to help you with your next steps. Please get in touch with us. Send us an email. Let one of our pastors know that you prayed that prayer today, and we want to help you with your next steps. Amen. Amen.